Thank you. Good day, friends. And here we are again with this wonderful opportunity of discussing and meditating with you on the Word of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. We have just been dealing with the marvelous revelation of God to Paul concerning the church, the body of Christ, made up of individual Jews and Gentiles who put their faith in the Savior, and to know that we've been brought into the marvelous purpose of God, to know that we're one with Him in His purpose, in His counsel, in His will, in His power, in His grace, in His wisdom, to realize that through eternal ages He's going to take every individual believer in Christ and knitting us together in one body called the church, the temple of God and habitation of God, to display through us His grace and His wisdom to all created intelligences. And this caused the Apostle Paul to come into the presence of God with boldness, boldness to speak, access with confidence, which caused the very angels of God to stand in amazement that creatures of the dust like you and me can come with confidence into the presence of God. And what was the effect upon Paul? For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here you have a heart poured out in worship to God for such a revelation of God's purpose. The relationship of the Father and the family in heaven and earth. You ever stop to think of it? We are His by right of creation, and we are His by right of redemption. And lest someone were to say to me, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, don't you believe that every person is a member of the family of God?" No, no. No, the whole family of in heaven and earth is named. That doesn't take everybody in. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "We are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." In John 1, 12, "To as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God." Romans 8, 14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God." In 1 John 3, 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." No, the only ones who are really the children of God are those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. To as many as received Him, to them God gives the right to become His children, nobody else. Not born of flesh and blood, but born of the Spirit of God, born of God. You see, again I want to make this very clear to you. There's no such thing in the Scriptures as the common fatherhood of God and the common brotherhood of man. Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus didn't even come to bring that to being. He could say in John chapter 8 to the Jews of His day, "You are of your father the devil. If God were your father, you'd believe me." The Apostle John, writing of this in the Epistle of John, said, "In this was manifested the children of God and the children of the devil." In the second chapter of Ephesians, you remember, we were children of wrath like the rest. No, those who are the children of God are those who have come to God, who have been brought into relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. And when He speaks here of the whole family in heaven and earth is named, He's talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and everyone who is in Christ. There are a great many in heaven who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And there are a great many on earth who belong to the same Savior, redeemed by His precious blood. They've been brought into relationship with Christ. I remember one day, dear Mr. Bach, Dr. Bach, who at one time, for many years, was the head of the Evangelical Alliance Mission. And one day he was in my home and he put his arm around me and he said, "Brother," he said, "what did the Apostle Paul mean when he spoke in Ephesians, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named?" Well, I said, "Brother Bach," I said, "I think you better tell me. You're asking me, but I think you want to tell me, don't you?" And he kind of smiled and he said, "Yes." He said, "You know," and by the way, Mr. Bach at that time was in his 70-some years of age and was having quite a bit of heart trouble. and he was very frail at the time. And he said, "Well, brother, it's just like this. The family in heaven are saying, 'Brother Bach, come home.' And the family on earth are saying, 'Brother Bach, stay here.' Now what can a fellow do?" And I said, "Well, I think you, dear fellow, better go back and lie down and get some rest." But I always enjoy that, because it reveals the fact there is a family in heaven and a family on earth. We belong to the same family. Those who have put their trust through the past centuries, have put their trust in the Savior, are with their Lord today. That's the family in heaven. And we on earth who have put our trust in the Savior, we are part of His family here on earth. And Paul here says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That's why I say to those of us who are saved, we are in the family of God. We are His by right of creation, and we are His especially by right of redemption. And now we come to the prayer of Paul, starting in at verse 16, and I'll take up the very first thing, the very first request. You'll notice, if I might be allowed to do this, in verse 16, the first request is that he would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man according to his riches in glory. The second request is that Christ may dwell down in your hearts by faith. The third request is that we might be rooted and grounded in love. We might be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The fourth request, that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. And then verse 20 tells us how it's going to be accomplished. Now let me again take a little time on this prayer of the Apostle Paul, just as we took time on the first prayer in chapter 1 for knowledge. The second prayer of Paul is a prayer for strength and for fellowship. Now, the first request in verse 16, he prayed that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, here is a request for strength. If I may give you a literal there, he prays that we might be made powerfully strong by his Spirit. He wants us to have a life that is energized by the Spirit of God in power. Now, the place of this action is in the inner man, in the place where we are most weak. And by the way, how we need this strength. As Paul could say, "I strive according to the working of him who worketh in me mightily." Where? In the inner man. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the 7th verse, Paul says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Paul is praying that we might be made powerfully strong by his Spirit in the inner man. And I say, in that part of our being where we are the most weak, where we need the most strength, in the inner man. Not the outward man, as Paul could say in Corinthians chapter 4, the second book, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. And the place of action by the Spirit of God, where we need to be made powerfully strong, is in the inner man. God give us some strong men. Men who are strong spiritually. I'm not talking about physical strength. Strength to stand in these days when there's so much moral corruption. Strength to stand for the Word of God in a day when men are spurning the Word of God. Strength in the inner man to stand when men ridicule Christ the Savior. Strength to stand when these intellectual leaders are full of arrogance with respect to the person of God. Paul prays we might be made powerfully strong in the inner man. My friend, this is what you need. This is what I need. You and I are facing unseen powers. Satan seems to know that his time is very, very short. And we see rebellion all around us in every part of the world. Those foundations which we thought were strong and stable are crumbling into the dust, and the structures are falling down, and our nation is being pulled to pieces like the rest of the world. Evil men are everywhere in authority. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. What do I need? I need to be made powerfully strong. You go to work, you go among your neighbors, you go among your friends, and there's a sneer, there's an indifference, there's a coldness, there's an arrogancy manifested, and you feel like pulling into your shell. May God grant to you and to me we might be made powerfully strong by His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. This is our weakest part, in the inner man. And yet this is where Christ dwells in the believer. And if you let Christ have His way, where His will instead of your will, where His desire instead of your desire, His purpose instead of your purpose, then you'll find yourself to be made strong, powerfully strong, by His Spirit in the inner man. And it's according to His riches in glory. We'll continue this in our next lesson, but I want you to pray today that the Lord may make you and me powerfully strong in the inner man by His Spirit according to His riches in glory. Oh, friend, we need this. You and I can't afford to live a day out of fellowship with God. And may you today revel in the fact you belong to the family of God, and then pray that He will give you His strength in the inner man, so you may glory in Him today. And where you think you're the strongest might be your weakest part. And where you are the weakest, He can make that the strongest. May that be your prayer today. And the Lord bless you for His name's sake.